You would turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, as we continue a series of messages about thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We show our thanks by giving, do we not? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 is the theme verse for these series of messages. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. And it reads this way. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this time of worship as we get to look in your precious word, and I pray that you'll speak through me, Lord. And Lord, may it turn our hearts closer to you in our giving, because we're so grateful and thankful for all your blessings and for all the things that you have done for us, Lord Jesus. And we give you praise and glory forever. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Everybody say, in everything. Y'all with me this morning? In everything, the good days, the bad days, and everything that we go through, everything that we do, we give thanks to the Lord God. And we are very grateful and thankful for eternal life and salvation and everything that Jesus has done for us. And we live a life of gratitude in everything that we do. And this is a will of God for our life as born-again believers. And, you know, we give thanks not only with things of our possessions, but also with our communication. Okay? And what is communication? A large part of communication, the reading and writing to the side, but a large part of communication is our voice. Now, you have to listen to me. I'm a southern dialect person. You may think 10 times faster than what I can get it out, but that's how I communicate, sorry. But our voice, we communicate with our voice, and also, not only with our voice, when we communicate, you could say it's our actions. We call it body language, things that we do. You know, people say a lot more than what they use with their voice if you look at their body language. Matter of fact, the O'Reilly Factor had many times a section of reading people's body language, whether they were telling the truth or not. And some people have taken courses on how to read people. So part of communication, a large part, is our voice and our actions. Now we're talking about thanksgiving. We give thanks with our communication. Now bear with me with this. With our voice and our actions, we give thanks in our witness. In our witness. What do we witness about? What do we talk about? Now, you know, if you want to talk to me about my family, Alicia, I can tell you some things about her. I won't tell you everything about her because it's none of your business. If you want to talk to me about my children, I can tell you about my children. I can tell you about my grandchildren. Now, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know what that sweet little baby girl Olivia did on her Nana the other day. You don't need to know that. But I can communicate about things that I love and like. If you want to talk about deer hunting, I can talk to you about deer hunting. I certainly won't tell you everything about deer hunting or where I hunt or, you know, things like that. But I like to communicate about deer hunting and things that I like. My family, I can talk to you about the weather. I do know that the north wind did not blow all weekend, and it was not cold. This time of the year, it was supposed to be north wind. It's supposed to have been cold, but it didn't. See, I can talk to you about things like that. But you know something that I really love? Somebody that I really love? And that's Jesus. And I love to tell you about Jesus, and I'll tell you everything I know about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is my life. Everything that I have, the very breath I breathe, everything that I think I own, everything that I do, you know, Jesus has given it to me. He has. The Lord has blessed me with everything, my health and everything that I am. Jesus has blessed me. He has given me eternal life. He has raised me up from the miry clay. And He has set my feet upon a rock Himself. And I love to talk about Jesus. You know, Peter and John, one of my favorite stories in Scripture in Acts chapter 4, they were threatened by the Pharisees and Sadducees not to no longer speak about that name, Jesus. And Peter and John said, we can't help but talk about Jesus. Can't help it. Now, our witness, our voice, what do you like to talk about? I like to talk about many things, but please listen, Cooper Baptist Church. We need to all be ready to share the hope that we have in our heart. We ought to all be ready to voice, not the truth. Let's don't voice our opinions. Voice the truth. Tell them about Jesus. Speak about Jesus. He is the truth. Don't say, oh, that's your... Don't let someone tell you, oh, that's just your opinion. No, it's not. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Speak the truth in love. Amen? It's not our opinion. Stating the fact. So voice, we give thanks in our witnessing. And our witnessing involves our voice. You know, witnessing also involves our actions, doesn't it? We can say a whole lot of things, but if our actions and the way we live does not match up with what we say, you know what we're called then? A hypocrite. Make believe, a put on, a mask, hiding the real you. So our actions, we give thanks in our witnessing with our actions. With our actions, what we do. I have heard it said all my life, people would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. They would rather see you live a godly Christian life than to just talk about it. So we ought to do both with our voice and with our actions, the way we live to be a witness. So our witness involves our voice and our actions. And we give thanks with our communication. Also, we give thanks in our work. In our work. In other words, along with our actions, what we do, our actions is what we do in our work. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, you can just write beside those Baptist verses. Us Baptists love verses 8 and 9, but us Baptists don't go to verse 10 that often. So we're going to read verses 8, 9, and 10. So we give thanks in our work. Listen to what it says. Verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Everyone say hallelujah. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We're grateful for this gift. It's undescribable. the gift that Jesus has given us, eternal life and a relationship with Him. And it is the gift of God, verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. We can't earn it, can't work towards it, or we can't step up to it, but it is by grace through faith that we are saved. Amen? But verse 10, let's do not forget verse 10. Verse 10 says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You're not a new person. You have not been born again unless you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? It is created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. And good works in the New Testament means to live godly. It's not helping an elderly lady across the road once or twice and say, that's my good deed for the day or the week or the year. Good works in Scripture means to live it daily. A godly life. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, plural, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk or live in them. So we're saved by grace, but we're saved by grace for a purpose. Everyone has a purpose. You don't have to read a book to know what your purpose is. Your purpose is for Christ to live in you and to work through you. You are a tool in God's toolbox. Amen? We are the body of Christ. We are His bride. We are His workmanship. You are talented, you are gifted to serve the Lord with your talents and your gifts. And that is giving thanks in our work, our daily lives for Him because we have been saved by grace. You see, He has given us our time, our talents. Everything belongs to Him. And in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, I challenge you to read it later. But in this book in the Bible and chapter, Jesus tells a parable about a man goes on a journey. And he leaves three men with talents to go do his bidding. And in this story, this parable that Jesus tells, the man that goes on the journey is him. And yet, he gave one like five talents, another one three, another one one. And the one with five talents went and traded and did work and doubled. And when the man returned from the far country, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he blessed him with more. The one with three did the same. And Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he blesses him. But the one that had one talent and did not go and do trading and did not go and do work with that talent and gift that he was blessed with, but he was afraid and he hid it. You know what Jesus called him? The wicked and lazy servant. Wicked and lazy. Why? Because he was blessed. It was just one. But God blessed him with that one. And he did not use it to bring him glory. Did not use it to serve him. So we serve the Lord with gladness. Why? Because of all the blessings He has blessed us with, and whether you have one talent or one gift, or you have five, serve the Lord with those gifts and talents. And we live a life of thanksgiving in everything, including our work. Our work. Now, I read a story that there was a new rancher. He moved to Texas and bought a ranch, and he and his wife, and they were going into ranching, and one of his friends from the east, from a big city, comes and visits, and he asks his friend, "What's the name of your ranch?" The man said, "Well, me and my wife had a hard time coming up with the name for this ranch. But I'll tell you the name of it. That the ranch's name is the Double R Lazy L Triple Horseshoe Bar Dash 7 Lucky Diamond Ranch." Because it was so hard for us to come up with the name of it. The man said, "Wow, that's a big name." Then he looks out over the ranch and he says, "Do you have any cows?" The man said, "Well, we used to have a lot of cows, but they did not survive the branding." They branded that big name on their cows. They couldn't survive it. You know, many times it is possible to get so caught up in what we call our spiritual gifts that we may not survive the servanthood of it. We're always trying to search our newest spiritual gift, or how many we got, or which one are they? The key is not so much to identify the spiritual gift that you may have, but to use what you have been given. Use what you have been given. If you're talented in music, get in the music. If you're talented in teaching, then teach from the nursery to the adults. Teach. If you're good at evangelizing, go knock on doors. Use the gift or gifts you have been given and serve the Lord with a grateful heart. Every talent is important. Just back to the parable. When Jesus said, "What'd you do with your talents? What'd you do with your talents? You wicked and slothful servant, you did not do anything." You see, there is a day coming that there will be accountability. There is a day of reckoning coming. Because he's gone on a far journey right now, but he is coming back. Amen? And we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we give thanks in our work, and we give thanks in our worship. You see, communication is our voice and our actions. And when we worship, it also involves communication, our voice and our actions in our worship. You see, worship is praise, it is singing, it is prayer, it is a way of life. We worship with singing, praying. We also worship in what we do, how we live. A godly life devoted and disciplined to the Lord is an act of worship. And when we come together, when you live a holy life, a godly life, when we come together, this is a hallelujah time. In everything, give thanks. That is an act of worship. You see, but we've got to have the right attitude, don't we, about worship. The right attitude. One day, some parents was watching their little boy out on the patio, and he had gotten a bat and a baseball as a gift. And they were watching him and listening to him, and he was saying, "I am the world's greatest hitter." And he throws that ball up, and he rears back that bat, and he swings, and he misses. He says, "Strike one." And he says, "I am the world's greatest hitter." So he grabs the baseball, looks at it, looks at the bat, throws it up. He swings with all of his might, and he misses. And he says, strike two. He pauses, and he looks at the ball and the bat, and he says, I am the world's greatest hitter. And he throws the ball way up, and he rears back with that bat, and he swings, and he misses. Strike three. So he sits down. He stands back up and says, I'm the world's greatest pitcher. I just struck out the world's greatest hitter. The right attitude, folks, goes a long ways. And our attitude is faith. Faith. Feelings is part of it, but we are people of faith. We love the Lord Jesus. Our life is dedicated and committed to Him in wholehearted trust. And that's the right attitude. And we have the right attitude about worship daily. And when we come to public worship with brothers and sisters in Christ, you won't worry about what the person next to you, whether they speak to you or not. Maybe they need the Jesus in their heart. But you will worship the Lord Jesus in song and praise and in Bible study. And you'll want to be here. Because verses like Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. You see, when you have the right attitude, you want to be here. You want to worship because you've been worshiping all week and you just can't wait to get with brothers and sisters in Christ and worship collectively as the blood-bought church that we are. Right attitude. And we give thanks in our worship. In our worship. One more passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15. Says this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise. Redeeming the time. You see, we worship with time also. He has blessed us with time. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Wait a minute. Here's another verse that speaks about the will of the Lord. People are always asking, what is God's will for my life? Some of these are spelled out for us. Amen? So, what the will of the Lord is, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. God's will for our lives is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is a way of life. Do you have a song of praise in your heart every day? It's worship, singing and making melody in your heart. And when it's in your heart, when we come together, it'll come out in praise to the Lord. It has to come out. We can't just, if the verse says, if you take it literal, then you'll just hum all the time. Because it says in your heart. But this is a show of being filled with the Holy Spirit and an attitude of worship to the Lord daily. Daily. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God that the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. An attitude of worship. A heart desiring to worship the Lord daily and collectively. Worship. To bring glory to the Lord. You know, in eternity we'll worship. In eternity we will also serve the Lord. We'll be doing both. Doing both. And we need it. Do you think God really, really needs our worship? He's got cherubims right now singing, "Holy, holy, holy." But with somebody that's been bought by the blood, lift their voice in their heart or with song and praises His name. I believe all of heaven listens to the one that's been bought by the blood as they worship. See, worship is also for us. Job in the Old Testament. Job, the story of Job, just briefly. All of his children died. Everything that he possessed was taken away. His wife said, "Curse God and die." You know what Job did? He fell down. He fell down upon his face, and the Bible says he worshiped. In the lowest point of his life, he worshiped. He said, "Naked I came and naked I shall go. Blessed be the name of the Lord." It all belonged to God anyway. He worshiped. Job needed to worship. Do you need to worship? If you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you know in your very heart of hearts that you need to worship. You need it. You can't help but give Him praise. You can't help but speak about Him. If you do not have that desire and need, I fear for you that you're worshiping the wrong thing. Either you're worshiping yourself in some weird way, or you're worshiping some weird idol of your own making. But you're worshiping the wrong thing. And I ask you to pray at this time for Jesus to touch your heart and to woo you by His Holy Spirit, that you may repent and turn to Him. Child of God, we need to worship. We need to give Him thanks in everything. We're fixing to have an invitation. And we're fixing to invite you to respond. Maybe some of you need to be part of this church. Maybe some of you need to make public that you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that we can also give thanks on your behalf. Will you tend to eternity at this time as we prepare for the invitation? Let us pray. Lord, again, we are so grateful of all Your mercies and grace toward us. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will do a great work among us this morning. And may You receive all glory in it. And Lord, may we leave this place giving You thanks with our communication. In Your name, Jesus, amen. Please stand.